Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Democratic Perspective.
The Corporation Commission interview that you're about to hear was conducted in the spring, so there have to be a couple of things that have to be updated. Each candidate had to raise $1,805 contributions, which they did, and the effect of that was that they got $175,000 from clean election funding, which is public funding, but it doesn't come out of your taxes, but from traffic tickets. There'll be number four on the ballot. Make sure that you vote for all three Democrats. The top three vote get us win. And if we do that, we'll have a very different corporation commission that's in favor of consumers rather than corporations. Please pay attention. Thanks.
This is Klaus von Stutterheim, and I'm flanked by my colleague Kat Ginzel and Karen McLeod. We've got a very exciting show for you. Of course, our shows are always exciting, but this is unbelievably important. We're talking about the corporate commission, and we have three Democratic candidates who are running for corporate commission. Anna Tovar, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And Shay Stanfield, right? And then we have Bill Mandel, who is actually a veteran of the commission. So the first thing that people ask or think about when they hear about it is, huh? And it's also one reason why not many people vote for it, because they don't understand what it is. But it is so crucial to everybody's life. Anybody who turns on a switch in their home is affected by what the commission does. And so let's start with Bill, because you have been, as I said, a veteran. So why don't you give us a brief explanation with a tad of history about the Corporation Commission.
Thank you, Klaus. Good morning. And as you noted, the commission is a very powerful entity in Arizona. It's considered a fourth branch of government. Most people don't have any idea how it impacts their lives, but if I could say it this way, if you use electricity, if you flush a toilet or take a shower, if you cook or heat with natural gas, if you use a landline, if you cross a railroad crossing or buy gas from a gas station, if you invest in stocks or bonds, or if you're concerned about whether we have solar energy in Arizona and what kind of power plants we build, whether they're fossil fuel or solar or other renewable, then a decision by the Corporation Commission has impacted your life.
Right, and it just tells what does the commission do and where did it come from?
Well, in territorial days, the commission was called the Railroad Commission because the people of Arizona were concerned about the power of political monopolies. And at that time, obviously, it was the railroads in the West and Standard Oil. And now we've come full circle and we have very powerful monopolies dominating our political process in Arizona. And we can talk about that as we go forward. But that was the genesis of how the framers in 1912 established the commission. It's very the name Corporation Commission is somewhat misleading for your viewers, and most people are probably from another state. In other states, it's called the Public Utilities Commission or the Public Service Commission, and it regulates government-created monopolies, including 300 private water and sewer companies.
Right, and so they tell the utilities what they can or cannot do. Am I right or am I wrong about that?
Well, you're right. That's why the commissioners are called commissioners as opposed to some other term. They order utilities to do what they might not want to do, whether it's increasing renewable energy in Arizona. They decide how much your listeners pay for their electricity bill to APS. They decide how much, if it's a private water company, how much you pay for your water or sewer. and make sure that, like I said, that we have safe railroad crossings and safe pipelines that go to our gas stations and our businesses and also our homes.
So since these guys are elected, they're actually more powerful than a legislature, right? Because there's little debate and they can issue an order and that's that.
Well, I wish I coined this phrase, but as I said, one of my former colleagues said, the commission is the most powerful entity in state government that most people know nothing about. And the reason I said entity as opposed to agency is not a state agency, and I think Anna may be talking about that in a second, but it's not a state agency. It's not in the executive branch. It's considered a separate branch of government, a fourth branch of government.
So, Anna, tell us something about the politics of the commission, the current, you know, it's how the seats are currently assigned to which party and how many candidates there are on both parties and how it functions politically, how we should look at it politically at this moment, which I think is actually a very exciting moment with you three guys sitting here and the turn, you know, the state may well be turning. So we're, I think, seeing an important part in history that hopefully we'll all remember fondly.
Absolutely, Klaus. It's a very important year, the 2020 election is. Currently, the Corporation Commission is a five-member body, and currently there is one Democrat representing the state of Arizona, Sandra Kennedy, and there are four other Republicans currently representing as commissioners. The crucial component to the 2020 election is that we have three open seats that are up for grabs in the 2020 election, and so it is very, very important to have participation in election during the 2020 election cycle come November. That will decide who will be our next three corporation commissioners. And as Bill stated, we have played that important role. We'll be setting the policy that dictates, you know, to everyday Arizonans how much they're paying for their electricity, encouraging, you know, a clean environment. There's so many entities that we touch. It's a crucial race, and we are actually the only statewide race that is happening in the state of Arizona. Typically, you know, we have other races that are statewide, whether it be the governor, the treasurer, the secretary of state. But this year in 2020, again, we're the only statewide race, and so it is very, very important for people to be voting and getting involved because, you know, as the name might not be very jazzy or you might not get too excited over the name of Arizona Corporation Commission. You might be confused at what it does, but essentially it is one of the most important things that you'll be voting on come this November.
Now, there are three vacancies and there are three Democrats sitting in front of me who are running, and we don't expect anybody else. Am I right about that?
Well, we have until April to turn in our signatures, and so we are anywhere about 10,000 signatures that we need to do to qualify to become an actual candidate on the ballot. So we are hopeful to have three Democrats, which the three are that are sitting here, be on the ballot for our Democrats in the primary, and then move forward to the general election, where at that point, you know, there's maybe about six or seven Republicans that'll have a battle in their primary. Then three Republicans will move on to the general election in November. So from there, you'll have six candidates vying for three seats. And at that point, the crucial part is electing the three Democrats that are here to make sure that we can take the majority at the Corporation Commission and join Sandra Kennedy.
Right, and so with the Republican slugfest to be expected in the primary, that can only be helpful to the three of you because you don't have to knock each other, right?
No, we don't have to knock each other. We'll be kumbaya, and we'll be all across the state of Arizona making sure we're spreading the good word of why it's important to turn Arizona blue, not only at the Corporation Commission, but across from local elections all the way to our president.
Okay, now, of course, you know, money plays and has played an enormous role in getting commissioners elected. And there's an unholy alliance, if you want to call it that. Shay, do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Corporation Commission, from the standpoint that this is a commission that is regulate the utilities and some of the safety features that they oversee in their duties. Yet Pinnacle West and APS have literally bought four of the five regulators that are presently sitting on the commission. So which means that when you buy your regulators, how much pushback are you going to get if you're a bad actor in the utilities markets? So what we are doing, the three of us, is we're running clean that we need to collect 1,800 $5 bills from 1,800 individuals to hand in to Clean Elections so that in exchange, we are then funded our $250,000, approximately $1,000 to fund our elections. So that way we don't take any corporate money, no PAC money, no money from groups that we don't know who the donors are. We actually know who each one of the individuals are. They're giving us money. The other individuals, anywhere between $10 and $170 if people choose to donate seed money.
So what we need to do, those of us who want to support you, we need to send two checks, right? We need to send a $5 check and a maximum $170 check for each of you. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Okay. Kat, you were going to ask something?
I want to make sure people are aware that they can go to each of your websites or one of your minutes and to let everybody know, all their friends know.
Yeah, if you go onto the Arizona Secretary of State's website, that's azsos.gov, you can go to their site and you can make the $5 contributions. You can also sign the petitions online. And if you go there, you'll notice you can sign not only the Corporation Commission, you can sign petitions we were running for your legislative district and some other offices, and it's on there, and you can do it all very quickly in about 5 minutes, and it's all done.
Petition. Any registered voter in Arizona can donate the $5.
All right. So,
well, this is Bill Mundell, and as a result of that, I was appointed as presiding judge when I was 27. Then I served in the legislature for 6 years, where I wrote numerous pieces of legislation protecting Arizona's environment. And then I was appointed by the governor to the commission and ran twice and won. And I wrote the current renewable energy law rule in Arizona called the REST rules, R-E-S-T, the REST rules, which require utilities to get a percentage of their electricity from solar, wind, and other renewable sources. So running again so we can make Arizona the solar capital of the world.
So just so we get a more personal impression, you're married, you have children, you have animals.
Well, my 14-year-old lab just passed away,
so
that was pretty married. My wife's a retired Superior Court judge, first woman presiding judge in Maricopa County, and I have two daughters. One lives in Washington, and the other one is a first-year law student. Who would have thought? You know, my wife's, like I said, a retired judge, and I'm a lawyer, and so she's a first-year law student.
Obviously, it's in the genes. Anna.
Yes, well, native Arizonan, and I grew up in the city of Tolleson, which now that I'm currently mayor of the city of Tolleson, Tolleson has celebrated its 90th year of inquiry from when I was 3 days old, and we closed the store when I was 33 years old. So grew up in an environment of serving our community, and my grandparents and parents instilled in me the value of community service. I then went to teach at a Tolleson school, so I taught kinder and first grade, and from there I ran for the Tolleson City Council, served on the City Council for about 8 years. From there, I moved on to the state legislature in 2009. I served in the House of Representatives for District 13 at the time, before redistricting, and then quickly became the minority whip in the House and the Latino Caucus chair. after redistricting, I went to the Senate, and it was District 19, and so I served in that capacity as a senator for my district and also the minority leader as well, too. Took a little break, been married for about 25 years, and really love the state of Arizona. I have currently 3 dogs. I did have a dog of 2.5 years ago, and she was our lab of 14 years, had since we were 6 weeks old as well, too, who passed away, and that was Coco. Definitely a love of animals is something that enjoys.
So what are the other dogs?
Other dogs are in age. We got Sadie, we have Luna, and we have Wadita.
And what breed?
One is an Australian Shepherd, a Blue Heeler. That was our rescue dog. It's a little grouchy right now because she's a little older and doesn't get along too well with the 2 other Labradoodles, which is Luna and Weta. So they all 3 get along and keep us on our toes. I have 2 boys who are young men, but I still call them boys, in college right now, and hopefully will be graduating soon to help mom and dad out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and last but certainly not least, Shay.
Yes, I moved here with my family in 1957. My dad was a young worker with the CDC, Center of Disease Control. He was an epidemic investigator. And the territory of Arizona, which was actually a state of 40 years at that point, 45 years at that point, he was put out here to handle some epidemics that were going on the reservations at the time. And fortunately, and my mom was an English teacher, high school English teacher. So I grew up with my mom really being the activist in the family, running petitions for different things in the community and going council meetings and that kind of thing. So between my dad working with the legislature on health care issues and my mom in the community, we definitely got the message that community service made a difference. And the way a city grows in a way itself, I have both my degrees, master's and bachelor's from ASU in education. I taught for 40 years in the Scottsdale School District. And during that 40 years, I also served on the Cave Creek Town Council around water issues, planning and zoning and board of adjustment. So it's been a lot of that there, again, is around making the community better. And from where we live. I was married for 25 years. He passed away. He was actually a government and econ teacher. Government and economics and American history teacher. And that's a whole nother story. covered wagon trips and the whole business in the early 80s where we built covered wagons and took experiential trips from Prescott into Scottsdale. But we have 2 sons now grown and in education and in renewable energy resources. They're very big in the hemp and sustainable fabrics in the area. So, and let me see. 2013 was when I retired. So when I retired and my kids were sort of out and I'm shifting gears and finally out of public office, I decided to go to work with the Arizona Greyhound Rescue in Tucson and began rehoming racing greyhounds. So to date, I've had 6 of them. I have 2 left.
6? Yes.
Well, I was the one that took the old, the battered, the turn back, the high vet bill dogs. And so I kind of became the hospice care for them.
So how big is your house?
Well, not that big, but then they're couch potatoes. Anybody out there that has a greyhound knows the couch potatoes.
Okay.
You just have to have plenty of couch space. So, anyway, I got into this race this last spring because it's time to make a difference. I mean, I am an APS customer, and it seems like we do not have any voice on what happens on the commission. And I can see that having a majority, Democratic majority on this commission to move us forward, not only in controlling energy rates, but also pushing us forward in renewable energy resources. We're at a we're basically at a standstill now in renewable energy. And this commission does have the power, if it had the will, to push this forward. And I think with the Democrat majority, we could get that done and get us to where we, about 50% by 2030, I believe Sierra Club was the put in paperwork with the commission for a suggested policy. So, which is totally doable in a state of Arizona. We just need to do it.
We have how many days of sun? 360 or something?
Well, 360, yeah, 362, 360 days of sun, yeah.
No, that can't
be. Probably 340. Yeah. There's 365 days in a year, so probably 340 days of sun.
Anyway, there's plenty of sun, that's for sure.
Plenty of sun.
And I don't know which of you said it, but there's no reason why Arizona couldn't and shouldn't become the solar capital of America, if not, even more than that. Did you have a question?
Where do we stand as far as using renewables as a state throughout the country right now?
Well, I can tell you when I was on the commission, and I mentioned earlier when we passed the renewable energy standard back in 2006, we got up to third behind California and Florida. The Republican commissioners have gutted pretty much everything that we had done when I was there, made it very difficult for people to put rooftop solar on their homes financially, and now we've dropped to ninth. We're now behind New Jersey, if you can believe that. And yes, Klaus, we should be the solar capital of the world.
One final question that occurs to me, going back to the breakfast we had earlier, there was talk about net metering, and even though I consider myself intelligent and relatively well-informed, I've never quite figured out what that meant. But I know it has something to do, it certainly touches the solar issues. So if one of the two of you could explain what that is, why it's important, that would be really helpful. Who wants to take
it? Well, I'll take it on a very basic level. Net metering is you have a solar energy set up on your house and you feed the grid during the day, and the electric company pays you for that electricity that you're putting in on the grid. And then at night, when the electricity isn't being generated from your system, then you use back the system off the grid, and you end up, of course, paying for that system coming in at, or that energy coming in at night. The whole idea was you're creating more energy than you're using. So you essentially would not have an electric bill, and you'd probably end up ahead on the net metering as it began. The net metering has been reduced, so the kilowatt hour has gone down so substantially that most people do not see any kind of coverage on their usage of the electricity that they use back, and they actually end up not only paying for the solar system, their solar system on their home, but they also end up paying $40 or $50 in electric on top of it, where that wasn't the case.
And I think the important piece on the commission plays is being able to provide those incentives that make it a worthy cause for everyday Arizonans to put solar on their rooftops. When they see the benefits hitting their pocket, they'll see like, wow, this is truly worth the investment because I will be saving money. But number two, I will be pulling and using solar energy. And those are the two key functions, I think, that grab everyday Arizonans' attention. But at the same time, it has to be affordable and feasible for them and for their family. But the commission could be able to change those rules, as Bill stated, and make it feasible and worthwhile investment for them to make that investment into solar on their rooftop. So it has to be a win-win for our Arizona families to push forward on solar energy.
Presumably, you guys would change that to the status quo ante, as they say in the legal profession. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. You have to make it some bold changes on how we move Arizona forward in regards to renewable energies, solar being one of them. At the same time, you have to have those policies in place that make it beneficial for everyday Arizonans to invest in that type of infrastructure.
And as Shay indicated, I mean, there we had incentives to encourage people to put rooftop solar on their homes, and as Anna said, and those have, I'll repeat what I said, those have all been gutted by the four Republican commissioners to make it very, very difficult for families to put rooftop solar on their homes now. We're going to change that. There is a proposal to increase it to 50%. There's different dates, 228 or 230, but there is a proposal that the commission will have an opportunity to vote on.
Anna, I understand that you've been very progressive in Tolleson as with your mayoral duties, that you've been very progressive with renewables and other things.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So I would say I started serving in Tolleson in 2001. In those days, we were probably one of the first cities in the state of Arizona to take on and lead the charge in regards to certifying any type of facility or a building in our city to become LEED certified and using those standards to help gear us towards any type of building that we were investing in. Since then, we have a police department that is a silver LEED certified department and a fire department that is a gold LEED certified as well too. And last but not least is our council chambers is also meeting LEED certification as well too. One of the biggest moves which we are in the process right now is building our City Hall campus, which will entail our new City Hall because our current City Hall is about 65 years old. So we have a City Hall, a senior center, community center, aquatic center, and our library. So that is going to be our new City Hall campus right where our city was founded, the same location, and we are committed again, to make sure that all those buildings are LEED certified and making sure that we are doing our best and our part in making sure that we're building correctly and having those sustainability buildings there for our community. Another one as well, too, is in, way back in 2001, we started our recycling program. And since I've come on in 2016, we kind of energized it again because it came a bit dormant, where we've invested in re-educating our community, especially our Spanish-speaking community, and making sure they're aware and educated on how the recycling process happens in our city, and going out to our local schools and educating our students to make sure that they know how to recycle so then they can go home and show mom and dad and aunt and uncle the importance of recycling. So I remember when I grew up, it was instilled in me the importance of taking part of our environment and saving our planet. And I know today there's many people out there that are doing that. Just blessed to be one of those.
And just one note for people who might know, the LEED certification is a building standard that uses renewable materials. It does things with less chemicals and sustainably produced paint, flooring, carpets and things. It's a national standard that is, you know, people really work for, and it's an important thing, and very few public buildings use that as their standard for growing. So Tolleson should be commended for doing that. It's another program that the state of Arizona should be encouraging people to do at, you know, the city and town level and the individual homes. One other thing, we all know that the real sort of elephant in the room when we talk about the Corporation Commission is the outside money that comes in. I know Shay mentioned some of those things. And I know if you go, one of you guys, a little more detail on the past, what APS and its parent company, Pinnacle West, have done with the process and how that sort of, you know, changed it from being a five people elected to represent people in Arizona to five people elected to represent the utility companies.
And let me add to that question. APS has said recently, and I think so did their parent company, that they would not direct any more money into those races for commissioners. Can we believe them, or are they going to go through some back door? What do you all think?
Well, I've called what's been going on at the commission since I left a cycle of corruption. And what do I mean by that? APS, as you noted, has spent millions. They spent $10 million to beat me in 16 when I ran again for the commission, and they spent...
They're expensive.
Well, I didn't lose by much, 0.7%, but that $10 million in the last 3 weeks hurt. They spent $10.9 million to beat Sandra Kennedy in 2014 when she ran for re-election. And so they've elected these Republican commissioners, and I call it a cycle of corruption because they get them elected, and they turn around then and rubber stamp all their rate increases. They then have more money to spend on more campaigns and elections to get the commissioners that will do what they're told by APS and Pinnacle West. And so it is a cycle of corruption that has existed. We're going to break that cycle and return the commission to the people of Arizona.
I got a letter recently in the mail from APS asking for another rate increase. What do you think about that?
Let me add to that. Was a question I was going to ask also. What is it? Is there any justification? Do they just raise the rates because it's fun and they can pay more dividends, or do they have to give a reason of actual, you know, tangible expense increases that the rate increase would offset?
Well, yes. Everybody, probably all your listeners, just got a in the mail notice that APS is filing for another rate increase. They just got one in 2017. And they've applied again. If you have commissioners doing their job, they would closely scrutinize whether or not APS is entitled to the rate increase. But the problem, as I said, is they've gotten commissioners elected with the millions of dollars they've spent who have just turned around and rubber stamped these rate increases. And actually, when I was on the commission before, I voted for a rate decrease for APS. It can be done. If you have commissioners that work hard, are diligent, look at the books and records, and make a fair determination on what should occur. But if they're just rubber stamping them, these rate increases, we'll see what's occurred recently. So that's why we need to get elected.
Oh, I know you need to get elected. So there's no the latest rate increase. There's no rationale as to why they just do it, right? Just ask for it, or do they at least try to pretend that there's a reason?
Well, as commissioners, we have to be somewhat careful, not somewhat careful. We need to be careful on a case that we haven't had a chance to look at the books and records of, because commissioners are like judges. We need to listen to all the evidence before we take a position on a case. But the bottom line is you need commissioners that aren't rubber stamping the rate increases, that get, like I said a second ago, look at the books and records. They'll try to justify it. They'll try to justify it, but you need commissioners that are diligent.
And I think that plays in well with standards that need to be put in place to allow commissioners to be independent and really truly representing our customers, you know, whether they're on APS, SRP, whatever, if it's a water issue as well, too. But having those standards and policies in place and so that we are truly independent and not getting information, being able to judge our information all on our own, establishing policies in place that, you know, we're not able to accept gifts, we are not going to be wined and dined, that we don't want to have anything to do with the utilities that are being represented at the Corporation Commission. And I feel that's a very important part of commissioners to truly be independent and have their number one focus be representing all Arizonans and, you know, not having your family members, you know, work for different utility companies, and as commissioners, not going to a utility company and working after you become a commissioner and putting rules in place that prevent those types of, you know, trust and accountability factors that I think right now that everyday Arizonans are frustrated with on the Corporation Commission, saying, like, how can this happen? How am I getting this other, you know, this letter? How is this happening in the state of Arizona? I think it comes back to those representation of the commissioners and making sure that we're independent.
Just for those who've just recently tuned in and maybe not know who we're talking about, we're talking about the Corporation Commission, which regulates the utilities and has an abysmal record. And we are interviewing three Democratic candidates, Anna Tovar, Shay Stanfield, and Bill Mundell, who was on the commission. And if those three get elected, as we hope, it will be a very different commission. So in the 10 minutes or so that we have left, I want to give all of each of you an opportunity to say whatever you wanted to say and haven't got and haven't had a chance to say.
I would like to say, which is we have lost sight, but the basic job of the commission is to protect the citizens and residents of Arizona. It is not to protect the utility companies, the securities markets, the businesses or any of that. They are there as the gatekeeper against fraud for the citizens between the average everyday person and where we have duties. And up to this point, the commission hasn't been proactive. They can be proactive. They, instead of reactive, to what everybody else wants, proactive toward the citizens of all citizens in Arizona.
So what you're saying is that in essence, you are the advocate of the people.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly. We are there to protect the people. And that has gotten lost.
Anna?
Thank you. So I wouldn't say with my experience that I've had in representing Arizonans, whether it be at the city level or the state level, that I'm always putting Arizonans first. And I would say that is my number one focus of running for the commission, and is making sure that everyday Arizonans are being represented and having their voices and their concerns heard. I know there's a time to roll up our sleeves and work together collectively, and I know that there's a time to draw the line for our in representing Arizonans, and knowing that, you know, there's crucial moments, crucial decisions that have to be made, and we have to be ready to fight and fight in favor for everyday Arizonans. And that's probably one of my major goals, whether in any role that I've played in my life, even as a teacher and even as a mom. I mean, you're fighting for your kids and different opportunities. This is no different. It's at a level, yes, where we're at a corporation commission, but I think I take those same passions with me in making sure that voices of everyday Arizonans are well represented at the corporation commission, bringing trust and accountability back to the commission, and making sure that we're investing in renewable energy.
Well, as we noted earlier, the commission was established to protect customers from politically powerful monopolies. That's why it was called the Railroad Commission. APS is a politically powerful monopoly. They spread millions of dollars all throughout the state of Arizona to gain access and to get what they want. We need commissioners there that are going to protect the customers of these government-created monopolies. These are monopolies. You don't have a choice. It's not free enterprise or competition. It's not like buying a Ford or a Chevy. You don't have a choice. We talked earlier about the $10.1 million they spent against me in 2016. They did that because I had a history of standing up to them and being and protecting customers and not just rolling over every time they had a rate application in front of them. And we need to return to that. We need to protect the customers of these government-created monopolies. And the three of us will do that if we can, when we get elected in November.
This is a question that may be more interesting to me than most.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
We're ready.
As a former denizen of Wall Street, you also regulate securities. So,
yes.
Just say something briefly about that. We don't want to bore people, but I think it's an interesting topic.
Well, this is interesting because, one, this is Shay. This is one of the reasons why I initially got into the race, because I had some discussions with some retired members of the legal staff of the Corporation Commission that investigated the securities markets in Arizona and rooted out some bad actors and took them to the commission with the evidence, and the commission refused to go after those bad actors. And so they're, as far as I know, they're still out there. Of course, they didn't tell me the names or who they were, but we're talking about people's retirement, people's school funds, people's bank accounts, and that doesn't get a lot of attention because of the utility companies. But that's one of the big jobs of the Corporation Commission, is to regulate the securities markets in Arizona.
Absolutely. And I think it goes back to my focus of restoring that trust and accountability in regards to what the Corporation Commission is in charge of as well, too. But always keeping in mind that our number one goal is protecting our consumer, and our consumer is everyday Arizonans.
Well, Klaus, I actually think it's a pretty interesting question, by the way. I call it the mini Securities and Exchange Commission at the Corporation Commission. They license salespeople and brokers who sell stocks, bonds, and other financial instruments to the people of Arizona. And if you have a problem, they investigate and decide whether there's been a violation of law or not. There's what I call assistant attorney generals there that investigate these allegations. When I was on the commission, we fined Wall Street millions of dollars back in the early 2000s. We actually had one of the biggest fraud cases in the United States, not just Arizona, the Baptist Foundation, where we went after the Baptist Foundation because they had a Ponzi scheme going on, and we returned 70%, and that may not sound like a lot to your listeners, but we 70% on the dollar back to the investors because we sued Arthur Anderson, if you remember them. We sued major law firms in Phoenix, got their malpractice insurance, and returned the money to investors. But usually if you get ripped off, it's very difficult to get the money back because it goes to, you know, Cadillacs and yachts and mansions and Rolexes and et cetera. But that's an important function the commission has, investigating securities fraud.
Well, that's quite a record, 70%. I mean, as we all know, usually the money vanishes and you're lucky to get 10, so nice job.
Thank you.
Yeah, and also the Corporation Commission, since you guys have 4-year terms, the legislature is only 2-year terms, even though they haven't really been using this authority, you are one of the few governmental entities in Arizona that actually looks at a long-term plan. Your energy plans, you're not making a plan that ends your next time you stand for election. You're making those plans that go to 2030 or 2040 or 2050, which is something that is different than that Arizona needs to do. And the Corporation is one of the few bodies that sort of has that in what should be their DNA, is to create long-term plans for the whole state.
Well, and as I said, we did that with the rest rules that I talked about earlier. Those were passed in 2006, and they went all to the year 2025. But the problem is with the current commissioners, if you can believe this, some of the Republican commissioners want to do away with the 15% or a renewable energy standard. They don't even want to make that a requirement. They just want to make it a quote-unquote goal. They don't even want to increase it to 50% by the year 2030. They want to do away with it and not make it mandatory. And I can tell you historically, if you do that, the utilities are going to balk at having to invest in renewables. At least they did in the past.
I think another important part, too, of the commission is being more proactive than reactive. And I think that involves, to your point, that long-term planning and those goal setting and that vision setting. So what do we want our future of Arizona to look like? It's going to take those changes. But, again, we need to take those proactive changes and not just be reactive of what just comes in front of the commission. So some long-term planning, and I feel that is definitely the step that we can go into once we have the majority.
Well, last word from you, and then
okay.
Close.
The last word is we have a future that's going to look very different than where we've come from the last 20 years around the climate issues and around water issues in this state. And it's imperative that we have bodies in the government and people elected to those bodies of government that are in the proactive state, know how to do the planning, know how to say no if development doesn't belong somewhere, and know how to say yes and redirect resources as well. And we can't do that if large corporations continue to have the upper hand on this. But the people of Arizona can make a difference. They can register to vote. They can vote for those people that have their best interest in mind, and they can make this turn now in the 2020 election.
That's terrific. So we had three Democratic candidates for Corporation Commission, Shay Stanfield, Anna Tovar, and Bill Mundell. It's very important that you vote for them. They're down ballot, and often people don't get down ballot. You really need to go down and vote for them, and it's absolutely crucial, as we've explained. So we thank you for the time that you spent with us, and we're looking forward to your victory, and possibly have you again on the show when it gets closer to election. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.